Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. We begin with an advertisement which we will continue for some time, as we have for the past 2 months, that Daleville Christian Church will be actively seeking the next full-time lead pastor for the congregation in another year. But we have position available part-time or full-time for students or pastors looking to relocate and serve another congregation, that we can employ you to learn how to lead Daleville Christian Church upon my retirement in another year. You may send a resume or inquiries to the email dalevillepastor1@mac.com. That's dalevillepastor, the number one, at mac.com. I'd like to remind all the listeners that each one of us decides in our own heart whether we will believe in God or which God, if any, we will believe in. To leave these matters of the heart undecided is similar to leaving a boat unanchored at dock or port. One has to hope that the wind stays calm or the storm or hurricane will land somewhere else far away. Anchors and matters of the heart should not be decided in a state of emergency. How many of us are that cool under that kind of pressure in a crisis? You could take time today or this week to consider and decide these matters. They can remain open for your review, but have the basics down, at least. Then you can live what you believe, which is always less stressful, more peaceful, and I believe will bring more blessedness. Me, I can only talk about Jesus. As a minister of God's Word, the Bible, I don't know anything else to talk about. I myself can only speak with any authority on matters of my own heart. As I look to God's Word, you will have to decide about matters of your own heart. The reading of God's Word for today is from the letter we call 1 John in the 4th chapter, beginning in the 19th verse, and continuing into the 5th chapter through the 5th verse. We love because He first loved us. That is God. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is the love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I have a book on my shelf that I have referred to in other sermons. The title of the book is, What's the Least I Can Believe and Still Be a Christian? A Guide to What Matters Most. What's the Least I Can Believe and Still Be a Christian? The pastor who wrote the book put together a sermon series. I don't know if the pastor titled the book or the book publisher gave the book its title, because book publishers want to catch the book buyer's eye. I know that the title caught my eye, and I'm not saying that it isn't a good book, but I do want to say that the title of the book is the wrong question. If you want to be a Christian, that's the wrong question to ask. Why is it the wrong question to ask? What's the least I can believe? Being anything is never based on a list, is it? Whether it's a long list or a short list, you and I are human beings. Is that based on a list that we keep? If I want to be a handsome prince, is there a list of requirements that if I meet them, I will become a handsome prince? If I want to be a professional ice cream taster, and yes, ice cream companies employ such a person, are there certain things that I have to believe about ice cream so I can be a professional ice cream taster? Perhaps some of you were thinking I would want to be a coffee taster. No, I don't. Professional coffee tasters only taste the coffee. They don't drink it all day. Besides, coffee is one of my hobbies. I read once, if you make your hobby your job, you will need to get another hobby. I don't want another hobby. But the point is, it doesn't matter what I claim to believe. What I believe can't make me a professional coffee taster or a professional ice cream taster. So assuming a person wants to be a Christian, they're probably starting out on the wrong foot to think that believing some things, a list of things, will make them into a Christian. Having said that, we're going to look at some people today who wanted to become a Buddhist, who wanted to become a racist. Well, I think that's what they wanted. And a whole bunch of people who thought they were becoming Jesus followers or somebody followers, although I'm thinking we're going to get to them next week. And having said that, I've taught students that becoming a Muslim is very easy. There are what is known as the five pillars of Islam. There are five key practices that all Muslims are obligated to fulfill throughout their lifetime. There's one profession of faith and four practices, and the fourth practice is not necessary. And I guess if you continually practice the first three, you're a good Muslim, and if you don't practice the first three, you're not a good Muslim, but you would still be considered a Muslim, or you could consider yourself a Muslim. You don't have to read anything or understand much of anything, and there are plenty of behaviors that Muslims might never call into question that people in Judeo-Christian tradition would be surprised about. To me, as I have read about it, asking the question, what does it take to be a Muslim, you don't need a whole book to tell you. You only need the five pillars of Islam, and you are a Muslim, good or bad. I suggest that Christianity or becoming a Christian is not about what you believe or the few basics you need to believe to become a Christian. Becoming a Christian is much more about who you believe or whom you believe. I don't judge. And the answer to that question is, of course, Jesus. I'm looking today at Americans and religion in America. We already know that fewer Americans attend worship services, the lowest percentage ever. We know that more Americans consider themselves unaffiliated. More Americans now say they're spiritual, but not religious. Some people may see the term spiritual, but not religious, as indecisive and devoid of substance. Others embrace it as an accurate way to describe themselves. What is beyond dispute, however, is that the label applies to a growing share of Americans. See the Fetzer study of spirituality in the United States, 2020. Americans are much more likely than others to say, I don't believe in a personal God, but do believe in a higher power of some kind. Similarly, the more spiritual report less connection with God on all measures. First, the more spiritual are less likely than the other groups to feel a connection to a higher power. Second, the more spiritual see spirituality rather than religion as more important in deciding what is right or wrong, in guiding how they interact with the world, and inspiring themselves to help their community. The more spiritual are also less likely to pray. That fact, I personally found a little surprising. One of my favorite films, Bruce Almighty, asks the question, how many people really know what they want? Or the way I ask the question, how many people really know what they really want? Some people who win lotteries will tell you they're not really better off. Some lottery winners lost all their winnings. So how was having more money or being rich really what they wanted? Having a lot of money didn't solve problems. Having a lot more money created problems that they could not solve. So they lost all their lottery winnings. And we could look at a number of celebrities who also, when becoming suddenly rich and famous, were not prepared for either fame or wealth. Entertainers, music producers, and too many athletes, professional athletes. Or take suicides, for example. There is a decision that people who suicide make all on their own. Suicide is such a bad decision that survivors, that is the people the suicides left behind, they require support groups, therapy, maybe medication, to try to return to normal, which loved ones say will never happen and hasn't happened yet, even decades after their loved one's suicide. So is that what the suicidal person really wanted for their friends, family, teachers? The mother of one of the Columbine school mass shooters has spoken publicly. She's not only the mother of a murderer, she's also the mother of a suicide. She's pondered what happened to her son, that he took his life with others. I think that I have stated I have some sympathy for suicidal people, and I understand murderers in the passion of the moment. But I don't understand murder with suicide. By the way, the Bible has sympathy for murders that occur in the passion of the moment. Moses murdered an Egyptian in the heat of the moment. And God's law provides for towns that murderers, like Moses, could flee to and run away from retribution. See Numbers 35:6. Let me say one more thing about suicidal people. There are many people who seriously consider suicide and they do not suicide. They could be a very helpful resource to other people considering suicide. And yet there are no scientific studies on this group of people yet. No one has yet studied people who seriously considered suicide and then did not suicide. Clearly, those who considered suicide but did not suicide either found resources or reasons or strength or courage or pain relief or whatever was necessary so that they decided to live instead of die by their own hand. All other people who consider suicide should get in touch with those people who considered suicide but turned away. But there is so much shame associated with suicide, shame and fear, that we don't know how to access those resource people to help people considering suicide. But the point is, people who suicide made that decision all on their own and carried it out all on their own. Were those people their best resource for what direction to take with their lives? The best idea for what to do next? Were they able to come up with the best idea of how to proceed in life? Those suicides were all human beings. So are we. So are we the best resource for our own lives? Are we able to get the best out of us? Can we all by ourselves become the best people we can become? On our congregation's website, I'm asked to consider putting labels on my sermons in a series. I'm not fond of that request, but I do it. But one series of sermons, which are never preached in a series, the series is called Life with Jesus is Better. No matter what anyone's life is, it can be better with Jesus. Even if you're wealthy and famous and you look great, your life can be even better with Jesus. How many people know what is for their own good? How many people can be their best coach so they can be the best human they can be? How many sports greats did it all by themselves? I'm just asking questions here. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve had it all, and they screwed it up. And there were only two people there in the garden. I've made statements before the sermons that we post online. In those statements, I say, I believe someone. I believe Jesus. I believe what Jesus said about himself. I believe what Jesus said about blessedness. I believe what Jesus said about God. I guess you could say that I believe in the same God Jesus believed in. And I believe that Jesus teaches about the best way to live my life. In the last century, many people, religious leaders, not just Christians, politicians, and not only American politicians, leaders in industry, business, many other fields of endeavor, stated publicly that Jesus was a great teacher. A great teacher, not because Jesus knew how to teach, but Jesus was a great teacher because Jesus taught great things, wonderful things, wonderful words of life. When we interview Americans today, we are not asking, what do you say about Jesus of Nazareth? We ask celebrities about their opinions about abortion. We ask celebrities about their opinions about vaccinations or what they believe about dieting or skincare products. But if Jesus was a teacher of wonderful things, doesn't anyone want to know what the celebrities think about what Jesus said? I know that I want to be a Jesus follower, and I say that while not knowing everything Jesus might want me to do or ask me to do. If I understand Jesus' words correctly, Matthew chapter 7, the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. The way is hard. Whether I claim to be spiritual or religious, whether I pray a lot or I pray a little, my own experience tells me that love can be hard. I still like that bumper sticker, God loves you and I'm trying to. But I think I promised you some stories. They're true stories, so I like to use the word reports. And I've already reported to you about the man claiming to be a Christian who murdered a doctor who practiced abortion. I've told you about pastors in this country who failed some basics about loving your neighbor. Those pastors were guilty of sexual assault, sexual harassment, sometimes with teenagers, girls, and boys. So I don't think it's what you believe that will really qualify you as a Jesus follower if you want to be a Jesus follower. Or you can claim to believe the right things and still not be a good Jesus follower. We live just down the street from the volunteer first responders. So when we hear a siren go by, we always stop at Daleville Christian Church and pray. Let's pray as I just heard the siren go by. Lord, we don't know what the volunteers go to find. We pray that you're with the volunteers and you're with those to whom they go. May the volunteers be prepared for whatever they face. May both the volunteers and those who need them call upon you themselves. For you are a God who is present in any time of trouble and any kind of trouble. And this we trust as we lift them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can claim to believe the right things and still not be a good Jesus follower, one who has lagged behind, maybe lost sight of Jesus up ahead, or stopped to rest and didn't bother to try and hurry to catch up, or just plain took a wrong turn. So I won't mention those Jesus followers again. I'm thinking of a man who died a few years ago. I think it was Washington State. I read his obituary. He sounded like a decent guy. His obituary made him sound like a decent guy. But I read about him because genetic testing showed he had murdered a young couple 15 years before. He didn't know them. They didn't know him. The couple were murdered. It was a cold case. No suspects. No people could be found who might have had a reason to kill that young couple. But science placed this man with that couple before they died. It sounds like it would have to have been a killing in the heat of the moment, whatever that moment was. The man was never connected to any other murders or any other crimes, for that matter. Just the murders of one couple. His obituary didn't say if the man ever considered himself religious or spiritual. His obituary doesn't even say whether the man believed in a higher power. There's also no evidence that the man wanted to be a Jesus follower either. Then I read last week of a man who'd been a person of interest in a murder because the man's neighbor had been murdered years before. But the man's wife and the man claimed they were out for the evening on the evening of the murder and they were not at home. This murder happened years ago. The person of interest soon left his wife and left the country. Lived in the U.S., left the U.S. to become a Buddhist monk. The news report only said that was the man's intentions. It didn't say that he did achieve his goal of becoming a Buddhist monk. But he returned to the United States later and became a significant other with a different woman. He also left her and died alone. It was then that genetic testing linked him to that murder years before when he and his wife said they'd been away for the evening. Come to find out that the man's first wife lied for him. The person of interest had left the house without his wife and came back later to say that if anyone asked, they were both out together. The man of interest had killed his neighbor when he was away that evening. Is that why the man wanted to become a peaceful Buddhist monk? Because his emotions got the best of him? We don't know, but his significant other said of him, as the police closed another cold case, that the man often fought with her and beat her. If the man became a Buddhist monk, he didn't become a very good Buddhist monk. Maybe he became more spiritual, and maybe the man even became religious, but he still wasn't able to control his violent temper, even enough to prevent him from beating his girlfriend. And I've read of Hindus killing Muslims. The most recent riot was in Delhi in 2020. I know we were talking about Buddhists, then all of a sudden we jumped to Hindus. And Hindus have killed Muslims. And no, faithful Hindus should not be involved in those killings. But they would still claim to be Hindus. And then there's another murder case recently decided in this country. Peyton Gendron was 18 years old when he killed 10 African Americans during a shooting at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York, in May 2022. He was last month sentenced to life in prison. Gendron pleaded guilty to all state charges in the shooting, including murder, domestic terrorism, and hate crimes. Mr. Gendron describes himself as an ethno-nationalist and a supporter of white supremacy who is motivated to commit acts of political violence. I'm not aware of any formal religion or level of spirituality that condones and encourages political murder. I know I'm old, but I like to think that I'm informed enough to know if such a claim of spirituality exists. By the way, I was reading about the Messiah mentioned in the Dead Sea Scrolls. A Messiah, it was believed, who would lead the Dead Sea group to violently overthrow the pagan Romans in a war against good and evil. I tried to look up any connection of the Dead Sea group's Messiah and the word love. And the word love never showed up in the index of the book. The Dead Sea Scrolls' Messiah is not about love. So my question is to Americans who won't claim religion, who will claim a higher power and might claim to want to be spiritual, how is it going? Because based on the people whose stories I have shared today, I'm rather concerned. Every one of these people's lives led them to murder someone or several people, even the guy drawn to Buddhism. Were these people thinking or believing they could handle life all on their own? Did they come to an understanding that if you have good reasons to murder someone, then it's okay? Or if you have no reason to murder someone, then that is okay? Or did these people tragically believe they were incapable of murder? Because we shouldn't really say we are incapable of murder. If we're human beings, I would have thought that Japan and Germany would have taught the world that we're all capable of participating in calculated murder, given the conditions or circumstances. Some can even be convinced that murder is a good thing. Peyton Gendron came to that conclusion at the age of 18. Dylan Roof, 21 years of age, 2015, conducted a mass shooting in a church in Charleston, South Carolina, in which 9 African Americans were killed during a Bible study. It is said that Dylan Roof disagreed with some of the opinions shared at the Bible study, but Dylan Roof had decided before he walked into the church that African Americans needed to die. People murdering people because the murderer thought it needed to happen. Not murder in the heat of the moment, but planned, calculated murder. Jesus told us there's a way that leads to destruction. And Jesus said it's upon the love of God that we should depend, not our own thinking or our own hatreds. Our Lord Jesus also said in John's Gospel book, John 10:10, the thief comes only to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Today we read from God's word, we love because he first loved us. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Again, I would like to emphasize that it isn't what you know that is most important or what you believe. It's who you know. It's who you believe. It's whose words you believe. But for me, I want to continue to keep following Jesus without falling too far behind or getting off the Jesus path. It isn't what I believe, it's who I believe. I believe in Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. Amen.